you don't mind, please. And Rex has asked Lynn and Gary Clay to come and share some things about Lynn.
Thank you, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
My name's Gary. This is my wife, Lynn, friends of Rex and Lynn's. Rex, on behalf of Rex, I'd like to begin by thanking everyone for joining us today in celebration of Lynn Allen's life. It's never easy saying goodbye to someone that's been a part of our lives. There's an emptiness shared by everyone here where Lynn has held a place in our hearts. Some here today knew Lynn better than others, and I understand the difficulties shared by everyone as we come together in her honor and share the impact she's had in our lives. Lynn was the most kind and loving person I've ever known. Many of you would agree. She was very generous in her giving to those in need and gave her time to those who needed help. Lynn made lasting friends wherever she went, and some are here today as a testimony to her kindness, caring, and love for others. Born August 27, 1958, in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, 46 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. She was the fifth child of Edward and Helen Pizzazar, her brother Ed Jr., and four sisters, Gloria, Marcia, Mary, and Monica, grew up on a dairy farm where Lynn enjoyed picking corn from the fields, cooking and enjoying the flavors of fresh cooked food. Her favorite activity on the farm was hanging around the swimming pool that was next to the farmhouse when she wasn't riding her bicycle with family and friends. Lynn graduated from German Township High School in 1976, where she excelled in math, English, and typing while cheerleading the football team. She married in 1978 and had her first child, Angela Krofcek, born September 3rd, 1980. Her second child, Matthew Krofcek, was born May 17th, 1983. Her children were her life, her love, and her passion. Lynn loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart. In 1990, she gave her life to the Lord and began serving him wholeheartedly. Around the year 2000, Lynn and her family moved to a town on the outskirts of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Euphrata, Pennsylvania was to become her new home, where she attended the Reformed Presbyterian Church and served in the women's ministry. Lynn had a successful career in the insurance industry as a licensed adjuster. She received numerous awards and was very accomplished during her tenure with Berlanco Insurance Company. In 2012, Lynn moved from Pennsylvania to Tucson, Arizona, where she began attending Calvary Chapel in Tucson. It wasn't long before she was participating in the women's ministry, helping others, and enjoying fellowship at church gatherings. She was very happy attending the women's retreat, picnics, concerts, and other church functions. She continued working for several companies from home in the service industry with the same success she had at Berlanco. Always a polite and courteous professional, she was rewarded many bonuses from her employers. In 2018, Lynn moved from Tucson to the White Mountains, where she met Rex a year later. On March 28, 2020, Rex and Lynn married and soon after purchased their home in Vernon and started their new life together. Lynn was already attending Calvary Chapel White Mountains, and Rex joined her, making new friends and enjoying the great outdoors. She loved holding hands while walking and sharing life stories with Rex. Camping, kayaking, hiking, and riding the UTV with Rex were her favorite pastimes. She enjoyed walking her dog Charlie and practicing her hobby of diamond art. Diamond art painting was a passion of Lynn's, and she sent many completed works to her friends and family. These were just some of Rex's favorite memories, but most of all, it was Lynn's love of life and how she enjoyed it to the fullest. She found beauty in every living thing, had the most enchanting smile and positive attitude of anybody he's ever known. Those that know Lynn will agree her passing is truly a monumental loss. We're all blessed to have known her and been a part of her life here on earth. A second blessing awaits us when we gather again in heaven. Thank you.
Awkward. I just wanted to say a few things about Lynn. First of all, I wanted to read a couple scriptures, and then I'll go from there on my more of a personal note. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that this is not our home, that we are confident and pleased to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's where Lynn is. And just like the song we sang, we can't even imagine. There is no, our brains can't even comprehend the glory and the love and the peace that Lynn's in now. It's the ones that are of us that are left behind to pick up sort of the chips that have to go on. And it's not easy. But we, our faith is in the Lord, and we know that we too will see her one day. And I wanted to quote from John's book, where it says that Jesus, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you. Jesus not only loved us so much that he gave his life for us, he loves us so much that he's going to prepare a place for us, for each one of us. And Lynn is in that place. She has no more sorrow, no more pain, no more what ifs and so forth. She's just in a perfect place that we can't even comprehend. And I am grateful that she's no longer suffering. I will miss her deeply. And on a personal note, I just wanted to share. I met Lynn about a year ago, and we just hit it off right away. Maybe because we're both Lynns, or she's goofy, I don't know, but we just loved each other from the get-go. She's such a kind and loving person, and we spent our time getting to know each other by painting class. We did a woman's painting class here at the church, which was fabulous. We just, all of us ladies had such a great time. It was a blast. And Lynn's like, we got to do this again. So she got me into 4 more painting classes, which were horrible, actually. I paid for this thing that came home that didn't look anything like our instructor told us to, and we would give him such a hard time. And Dave says, I really like you, Lynn and Lynn, but you guys drive me crazy. So we just, we enjoyed that together. We enjoyed walking and hiking and kayaking and just lunch and shopping, girl stuff. It was just a blessing to know her. The last few times that I had spent with her, we were starting to hike 2 times a week, and we were going 4 to 5 miles. And Rex told, she told me I couldn't come without my pepper spray. And she turned to me and she showed it to me and she said, just in case you get out of line. And I said, I brought a gun. Just in case you get out of line, I trumped you. So we would just have fun and laugh. And then she had her wreck, and we didn't speak, you know, we texted and so forth, back and forth, but we didn't really get to get caught up much. And Rex retired. I think one of Lynn and mine, the way we bonded too, we were both starting new lives. She's just started a new life with Rex, being married. And Gary and I just moved here from California. Yes, California. And we didn't know anybody. We didn't know the area or anything. And Lynn says it's like we're both starting our lives afresh and on a path together with our new lives. And it was true. We were. And she would go out of her way to say, why don't you meet me here for lunch? I'm like, well, where's that, you know, to help me to know the area a little better. So she was just really kind and funny. And she was in such a good place in her life. She loved Rex. She loved her new home. She was just in such a good place and so happy. And Rex had just retired, and they were starting to travel. And it was just, and Charlie, she loved her little dog, Charlie, who Gary and I are tending for. He's loving now. But she's in a much better place even than she was. And so I just want her to know that I will miss her. And I just want to close with the scripture. We're in Philippians right now. And Paul tells the church in Philippi, you have a very special place in my heart. We have shared together the blessings of God. And that kind of sums up Lynn and I. She has a very special place in my heart. We shared many, many blessings that the Lord bestowed upon us. And I just thank her for her friendship. I thank you for Rex for allowing her to spend so much time with me. And I know it was hard because you were newlyweds, but I'm very blessed. And I just want to say thank you. And Rex has said that if anybody wanted to share something about Lynn or her story, that you're more than welcome to come up. And if not, we're turning it over to Donna.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll try and get through this. I'm Linda, and I can almost say ditto, Lynn, because I'm new up here too, a year and a half, and I met Lynn because she needed someone to watch Charlie, and I saw her ad online, and we had tried to do the same thing with our dog because we didn't know anyone, and we got no hits, so I thought, I need to hit on this one, and the same thing happened, and I don't like coming up and talking in front of people, but Lynn deserves this. She was a dear. I'm sorry. Before I moved up here, I prayed to make a friend, you know, and I asked God really, you know, to look out for me in that area because a woman friend is so important to me. And I met Lynn, and we both were believers, and we had a lot in common. We had so much in common. We had just tapped the tip of the iceberg. And she, in the short time that I knew her, I met an angel. She truly was the kindest hearted person I ever met. She was a giver. I had a diamond painting at home, and I got this big buck because I moved to the mountains. And I started doing it, and I thought, oh, my Lord. And then when I went to her house and saw all of her artwork, I was shocked. And I thought, she must be like a machine. And she said, Linda, let me take that for you and finish it. And I said, oh, but it's not even close to being done because it was taking me so long. Anyway, she took it, and she not only finished it, Rex framed it for me. You know, she... It meant something for her to leave something in your life, you know, that brought you joy. She knew what little gifts like that meant. You know, her neighbor made coat racks, and I commented on her coat rack. And, you know, 2 weeks later, she showed up at my house with a coat rack. I just am so grateful that God let me meet Rex and Lynn. I'm very sorry, and I'm very sad for your loss. You and your family, I know she's in a better place, but you know, I'm still in the grieving stage, and I miss her dearly. And I know that God had a reason, but we lost an angel on earth, and I can't wait to see her again, and we will. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Darren, and I'm married to Cheryl, who is Rex's cousin, and I knew Lynn just very briefly, met her a couple of times, but one of the things that really struck me about Lynn is she was just super easy to be around, and I had felt like we had known her for forever. It was just, this really struck me, and thought I just might want to share that. And then just looking through the slides, it, you know, you guys had a short time, but I saw time well spent and a life together well spent. And I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Good. Hi, I'm Susie. I'm Lynn's cousin, and I am so happy that she was able to find Rex and have a wonderful life here. And I wanted to share a story from when I was a child. I lived in Chicago, and my mom sent me out to the farm at Uniontown, and Lynn. So there were five girls, as you talked about earlier, and so I went to school with them. And it was Lynn who took me under her wing and showed me through the school, got permission for me to be in all her classes, and then was my pal the whole time that I was there for the summer. And we lived together in Tucson for a brief period. We kind of moved around, she moved around, I moved around, and it is just so wonderful. She showed back up into my life about a year ago, and unfortunately, we weren't able to reconnect before she became ill, so she will forever be in my heart.
Lynn briefly as well. We went to painting class together and had a ball. She was always so encouraging. The rest of us were pretty bad, but she said, no, you did a great job. So we're going to do Amazing Grace, and let's everyone join.
Amazing. sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see.
Calvary Chapel of the White Mountains for just a short while. And as I was praying about what to share with you folks, I believe the Lord put this on my heart, that we each had our conversations and our interactions with Lynn, causing each of us to remember Lynn in a little bit different way. We all have our memories in that, and that's actually really normal. Different people remember the same person differently. Sometimes it's based upon the type of relationship that you had with someone. For Lynn, she was a wife, a mother, and a friend to a lot of people. And each type of those relationships come with their own different dynamics, along with different expectations. As a husband would have a different expectation of a wife, and there'd be different dynamics in that peer-to-peer relationship, it'd be very different than would be in a mother-child relationship. And those different types of relationship would cause different things to be remembered in each of the people that would be left behind. And I know that's kind of a duh, kind of a thing to think about, but here's something that we don't always consider when we remember someone that was a believer in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us from the moment that we first come to faith in Jesus that God begins working in us. We become temples of the Holy Spirit. He sends His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And His goal, which should be ours as well, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's God's will. Should be ours. You know, and that's God's desire, to make us more like Jesus every day. And when you think about how we remember someone, it might be good to keep in mind that when you met them, it might have been in a very different place in the process of God's work in their life than others who knew that person. I've heard people talking about the same person and that person that they remembered. And you would think that they were talking about two different people. That does happen, and I've heard it. But in a sense, they were talking about two different people, especially if they were talking about the same person before that person came to Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." When we put our faith in Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, that He died on the cross for us, rose again from the dead, instantly God makes us into a new creation. Jesus called it being born again. And that process of becoming Christ-like begins at that point. And if you met someone who just became a Christian, say 2 days after they were born again, they might be not that far down the road in that road of change, in that process of becoming Christ-like. But if you came back a year later, you might be surprised. It'd be like a whole different person. And I think that's important to keep in mind at times like this, to know that every born-again believer in Jesus isn't perfect. And Paul, the great apostle Paul, he was used by the Lord to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And towards the end of his life, he wrote to the Philippian church, as Lynn was mentioning. We're there on Wednesday nights, but he confessed, "I'm not perfect. I haven't attained. I'm not there yet." And to me, I love that, man. I love Philippians. One of the major reasons is that, man, if God can use an imperfect guy like Paul admits to be perfect, well, then there's hope for me. And, you know, when we think about the different ways that we might know somebody, or different things that we might remember about them, we need to keep that in mind. You know, we're not perfect, but God is working in us, and He's working on us, all of us. And there's even a bigger thing to remember. No matter how far along we are in our walk with Jesus, and that's what the Bible calls it, when we give our lives to Christ, it's like we begin a life of walking with Jesus. And when we begin that walk, no matter if it's the first minute that we have given our lives to Christ, or if we've been walking with Him for 40 years, you know, it really doesn't matter. The moment we put our trust in Him, the moment we believe that He's the Son of God and He died for our sins, rose again from the dead and all that, then that means that our final destination is heaven. That we're just as saved 2 seconds after we put our faith in Christ than 40 years later. And that's an awesome thing. We could, and we can and we should look forward to being in heaven, mostly because we're going to be face to face with Jesus, our Savior. That's where Lynn is now. She's face to face with Jesus. Jesus said in John 3:16, most famous verse in the Bible, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." See, that's a promise from the Son of God Himself. And it's so awesome to understand our eternal destination isn't dependent on having reached some spiritual plateau. You know, we've gotten good enough and whatever, now God will let us in. All about faith in Jesus. It's not about being near perfect or whatever before we can go to heaven. It's all about putting our faith in Christ. And Lynn believed in Jesus. She put her trust in Christ. She believed that Jesus died on the cross for her sins. She knew that Jesus rose from the dead. And she knew that Jesus is seated even now at the right hand of the Father. And that's why I can say that I know that Lynn is in heaven right now. It's not a guess. It's because of the promise that Jesus made. And she will be missed. But for those who are also right now trusting in Christ and our hearts, you know, are affected in different ways and all that, but we do miss her. The thing is, though, if we're trusting in Christ, we know that we will see Lynn again. That, again, is another promise. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, I thought that Lynn was going to share this one, but she shared the one in 1 Corinthians. But we're reminded of this fact. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and there was a lot of false teachings back then. And when he talks about those who have died, and I just want to say this, that he refers to them as that they are sleeping. He's not talking about soul sleep. He's talking about the fact that the body is sleeping. Jesus said, you know, if you live and believe in me, you'll never die. So it's really not accurate to say a believer in Christ has died. You know, we often say they've passed away. They've passed on because they, the real them, they're with Jesus. And the body will be resurrected. And he talks about that here. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We look forward as believers in Christ to that day when Jesus returns for us, takes us out of the world, and receives us to himself. And we'll not only see our Savior face to face, but it's a day, as he said, we'll be reunited with our loved ones. We'll see those people that we have been missing. And that's a great comfort to know that. It should be. It's my prayer that each of you would take comfort in this, knowing that Christ is coming for the rest of us, and it may be a lot sooner than we think. And we need to be ready. And the way that you could be sure that you are ready is to put your faith in Jesus, to agree with God that you've sinned, you've broken his laws, and that Jesus died in your place. He died for our sins, and he rose from the dead. Put your trust in Jesus, and you will be ready. And I know that's what Lynn would have wanted me to share with you. That she touched your lives. You're here. She loved you. You loved her. And that's why you're here. And if you haven't given your life to Christ, I encourage you to do that. And if you want to, later on, you know, in just a few minutes after we dismiss, then I'd be glad to talk with you if you have any questions on how to do that. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the encouragement, for the comfort that we receive in knowing what you have promised in your word. And Lord, we thank you that Lynn took you up on those promises. Lord, that she believed in you. She put her trust in you. And now, Lord, we know, as the old song says, her faith has become sight. Lord, she's no longer in faith looking forward to being with you. She, in fact, is with you now, face to face. Lord, we thank you for that comforting, comforting, not just a thought, but reality. Lord, help us. Help us to put our trust in you and live for you from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. And again, thank you for coming.